Greetings, friends. Shalom, in the wonderful name of Jesus. We are back, day two, in our subject, a balanced walk for the Lord. And we need Him. And I hope it will be understandable. It shouldn't be difficult, because I don't believe the Lord is difficult. It becomes difficult, I believe, it's when we come in the way for Him. So let Him have His way now today also. Lord, we pray that You guide us, that Your Word come alive in our lives so we can be fruitful and to be Your body on this earth. May You bless us this day, and we lay everything in Your hands again, where it belongs, we pray. Amen. So, we established yesterday with some experiences I had myself, and with the Word of God, that the true Christian life, it can't be based upon fear, head knowledge, natural ambitions or anything other, but a real desire and a longing to do God's will. And, you know, faith, it comes by revelation. And when He reveals who He is, you really will see who you are also in the light of Him. So it's then you really experience conviction. You surrender your life to Him, and now it should be all about searching for God, His will for our life. Always searching towards the center of Him. And you know, God is eternal. So you can keep on searching. You never get to the center of Him, but you can press on against the center, closer to Him, and not the other way. Don't ask yourself, how much of the world can I enjoy and still call myself a Christian? But if you search of more of God, something wonderful happens. You're turning into a living fountain for others, living water flowing through you. Meaning, if you drink of the right source, it will result in fruits that is healthy for yourself, for your own life, and for the people around you. So let's go first to Galatians 5:22. It's about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So, before that, we didn't read that, but in verse 19, you could read about the fruits of the flesh. And we can see it's quite the other way. Yeah, it's quite the opposite. It is built upon our ego. And it leads to destruction for yourself and for others. That is why it's said in verse 24, we have to crucify our flesh. And that's a key point. And there is nothing in us that can grow good fruit you can see in the natural also, we see a tree, it carries fruits that can be enjoyed for the people around. But unless the tree has roots going down into the ground and to pull up nourishment and water, and it won't be able to bear or produce any fruit. So I looked upon like a technical note about trees, and there's three different forces actually that enables the tree to take up nourishment and water. But I can mention the third one, the last one. The third force comes by transpiration and negative pressure. When the water evaporates from the leaves, a negative pressure is created that pulls the water upwards. And the water, you know, it's polar. This means that it has a positive and a negative side, plus pole and a minus pole. We can say that water is in a way magnetic, and the water molecules stick together, plus to minus. When the water is transported upward, it's like in thin tubes, the water molecules cling to each other like pearls on a string. So there's need for pressure, and we need pressure also to bear fruits. Nature is made wonderful. You can see how the natural, it mirrors and explains the spiritual many times. And Jesus often used parables from the natural to explain the spiritual. So we have the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And those are things that we can see. And sometimes it can take a lot of the focus, because that's our senses can behold that. We see churches and denominations also, they maybe it started with a revival, a revelation, but we see in time it becomes about giving aid, helping the poor and so on. And you know, that's good in the natural. But the life and the fire, it goes out. And, you know, those kind of things doesn't like change people from within, make a new creature. But it gives people this sense of doing God's will, and they can feel good about themselves. And really, it's a false security. And also, you have the charismatic churches, many of them, there's very much focus on spiritual gifts, signs and wonders. And that is the thing that pulls the people, thousands of people. They use the gifts to draw on people. And the gifts are good. Fruits are good. But the point here is it must have a root. Is more be rooted in the Word of God, and the gifts, they can and must only be used through inspiration from God. It's nothing you can just use for yourself. And you see, all the great revivals we can read about started at least with one person on their knees seeking God first, often under pressure, heavy burdens, and even in desperation. So when the revival comes, and then it's the challenge to stay humble and continue in prayer. So the one who started the work can have room to finish it. Because if you start to focus too much on you taking over, then he will pull back. So we can go now to Luke 18, verse 18 to 23. And here we see Jesus is meeting this rich young ruler. He asked him from verse 18, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? None is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And then he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful because he was very rich. And here you see a man having everything, and he's been faithful to the Lord, seems like, and treating everyone nice. But his heart was closer to the natural things, his riches, things that we can see and touch, closer to that than to the Lord. And when Jesus said that you will have treasure in heaven, he didn't really know what Jesus was talking about, because his focus was only on the natural things. We have a scripture in Matthew 22. Let's go there and read from verse 35. There was a lawyer who asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which of the great commandments in the law? Which are the great commandments in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So this is the right order. Search God. Love the Lord with everything you are first. And the second will come out as fruits of the first. If you try to jump right to the second without the first, it won't last, it won't work. Because you need God. And there are many places in Scripture. For example, it says, "Rejoice, be glad, you know, and the joy of the Lord is my strength." But you can't go straight to the joy part and just be commanded to be glad. No, you need to find the source of the joy, and you need to fill you with that, and that will be your strength. And so many times it's contrary to the human mind. For example, we think when we receive things, when we are helped, somebody forgives us, then it makes us happy. Of course, it makes you happy, but then you discover that if you give, and if you help others, and if you forgive someone, that actually it gives you much greater joy. So it's about sacrifice. It's about the ultimate sacrifice. It's about the cross. So I have this picture in my mind. If you picture the cross and Jesus was crucified for our sins, hanging on this cross with his arms stretched out. And then you can picture it like it's standing in the center of a scale. So you have these walls on each sides where you can lay things in, so that the cross is in the center. And if you take those two laws we just read in Matthew 22, it has to be a balance there. On one side you have truth, justice, holiness. You know, God, He is all these things. He's holy. He is the truth. There you have all righteousness, justice. And then on the other side, you have love, mercy, forgiveness, everything that we need to interact with other, our fellow men. And there's no one more just, more holy, more righteous than God on the one side. And on the other side, He is love. There's none more loving, forgiving, shows mercy, all those things. He is to the fullest. And you know, in the center you have the cross and Jesus Christ. He fulfilled all this virtues. He fulfilled it all, needed all, and he fulfilled it to the end, and he showed us the way, really. So we need this, both sides, all the virtues that is in God, to have a balanced walk with Him. And if you go too far on each side, started lacking one of the sides, then you can out of balance. So think about that. And for myself, it's really something I remind myself often, to have this order of things. And really, it's to search God first of all. And, you know, like the sheep, it just eats grass, fills it with the food he needs, and then the wool just grows. So it's nothing you try to do, but it's a law. It's the law of Christ. So may the Lord bless you. Amen.